Welcome to the Ministry Collaborative Podcast,
an ongoing conversation
with ministry leaders
about embracing complexity
and uncertainty
with joy
and faithfulness.
Friends, this is Adam Borneman with the Ministry Collaborative, and today I'm happy to be sitting with Morgan Burge, someone who I've recently gotten to know over the past year and have been eager to talk with on this podcast. Morgan is currently the director of membership at Roswell Presbyterian Church here in North Atlanta, and she also has her hands and feet in lots of other things too, which is one of the reasons I wanted to have a conversation with her. Morgan, thanks for joining me for a few minutes.
Thanks for having me.
Morgan, could you share for us just a short biographical sketch? I think some of your background is, at least to me, intriguing and also I think helpful for the conversation I want to have.
Yeah, so I started my ministry career right out of college. I came on staff with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, which is an interdenominational but evangelical organization that reaches out to college students. So I was in that world a long time. I served at Georgia Tech at first, and then I served at some historically Black colleges and universities in Atlanta. I became a team leader and served at like state schools, rural schools, all the schools. Then a conference director with them and eventually an associate area director. So I was fundraising. I was recruiting staff and doing leadership development, spiritual formation, pastoral care, supervision, curriculum development for like discipleship in small groups. Mm-hmm. And I was there for 9 years, then went to seminary. I go to Columbia Theological Seminary now. And have felt the call to more congregational ministry. So that's what led me to now working for Roswell Presbyterian Church.
There's so many different streams of formation and theological exploration in the last several years of your life, and really in some of the most formative years of your life, I would imagine. How important has that been for you, just those very different sorts of streams and where they've landed you for now?
I mean, I've always been someone who has very diverse interests in ministry and in life. And so one thing I really loved about working for kind of a parachurch organization where, you know, the budget is tight, you can wear a lot of hats and try different things and see what works. And so I loved just the ability to innovate and to see what worked for me and find my strengths. I think being in my 20s during that time, it was the perfect place to do that.
Yeah, I'm really drawn to it because in some ways it's my background as well. But even now in our work as a ministry collaborative, it's a pretty wildly diverse network of people nationwide, theologically, denominationally, racially, ethnically, and otherwise. And we pay very careful attention to that because we think it's a pretty delicate thing to not take for granted. But it's also a really beautiful thing because people are drawn to the types of spaces you're describing. Mm-hmm. And so a question I want to pose to you that I think we wrestle with and that pastors in our network wrestle with a lot is, what is the church missing from some of these other streams of formation? I mean, I look at my own predominantly white mainline historic PCUSA church just broadly, not just Roswell, but across the landscape. And mm-hmm. I think we're missing a lot that could be really valuable for us. But I'm wondering, what do you think that people are there, all the other spaces of faith formation?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm in a very similar stream of denomination now. And so I was actually drawn to it coming from an interdenominational space because of the like tradition and the history and mm-hmm. the way that there's a process for everything. Where in parachurch ministry, I felt like sometimes we were making up processes as we went. I loved the innovation, but I needed more structure sometimes. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. what I miss being in like a congregation that's a mainline and has been around since the 1800s, it takes so long to turn the ship.
Yes.
Basically, what I've noticed is when there is an idea to do something different, it has to go through a lot more processes to get done. And I think sometimes that can stifle creativity. It can stifle innovation and just mm-hmm. the new moves that the Holy Spirit wants to do. So we Presbyterians especially could learn a lot from interdenominational spaces.
Yeah, I agree. And I attended seminary at Gordon-Conwell, just north of Boston, which is a pretty international, interdenominational school. And at the time, I had no idea where I was going to land theologically, denominationally, or anything else. And I've since felt the same way that, gosh, there's just so much out there for us all to learn from in a lot of different spaces. And I do worry that a lot of our inherited structures in whatever denominational setting it might be that may have served a really important purpose in a particular time and space. And I agree that it is good to have certain types of processes and accountability and that sort of thing. Sometimes I worry that we're now in a world where they no longer have the capacity to address the emerging needs of the world around us. And so we find a lot of comfort in the ideas of doing such and such, but it is actually hard. Even for the most well-intentioned individuals, it's still very hard to turn those corners. As you're talking, you reminded me of a line that has stuck with me from Brenda Salter McNeil's work.
Yes, she was an InterVarsity.
Oh, good. Yeah, I wondered if there was some overlap there. And I really liked her recent book on Esther from a couple of years ago. But this was from a different book that I think actually captures some of what we're talking about. She says, if we're not careful, it's quite possible and tempting to be more in love with the idea of reconciliation, is what she's talking about in this context. In love with the idea of reconciliation to actually engage in the actual work of reconciliation, the arduous, painful, messy marathon work of it. That's the pivotal question. Are we more in love with the idea of following Jesus than actually following Jesus, including to and through some difficult areas? And I think you could substitute a lot of different words in there. Reconciliation, obviously, but just the idea of creating diverse spaces that are more nimble and able to turn those corners you're talking about. Sometimes I wonder if we're more in love with the ideas and actually taking some risks and poking at some things and just seeing what happens.
Right.
Asking for forgiveness rather than permission in some cases.
It's so true. Yeah. It feels like there's so much less to lose when we just talk about it or have a little Bible study or have one speaker come one time a year. Once you start getting into the weeds, I think it feels really real and people aren't always ready for that.
I know you've been thinking about this a lot more lately in your role working with new members at a middle to larger size Presbyterian church, that you've been thinking a lot more about how do we name and navigate the reality of homogenous communities?
Yeah.
You know, across the country now for several years, we've had what Bill Bishop called the big sort. And I think we've seen that more and more accelerated, that we're actually being more and more sorted out economically, educationally, racially, geographically. And of course, we see that in churches. So what is your thinking on that? And how does that relate to this, not just being in love with the idea, but being in love with moving forward in some creative ways?
Yeah, I think all of us who are a part of ministry spaces have to ask who isn't in the room and why. Mm-hmm. I think we have to be willing to know that breaking up homogeny isn't going to happen naturally. It doesn't happen because we had a Black speaker come to preach Martin Luther King weekend or something.
Right.
You know, like it takes intention and it takes looking at even our relationships as individuals who are a part of these ministries. We're not just going to like find some people of color on the street to bring into our congregation if that's like our goal of reconciliation. So
what are some of the assumptions or elephants in the room that are getting in the way of asking who isn't here and why?
I think one of the main ones is it's comfortable being around people who are like us. So when you ask that question and are faced with maybe things might change, it's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I think that it's difficult because people also don't want to say things to offend a group, usually a minority group. And I think when we bring up the conversation of who's not at the table, it's risky. You're not going to always say the right thing and it's going to be messy and it's vulnerable. And I think we like as humans naturally want to protect ourselves from vulnerability and discomfort.
Yeah. I've been in a Bible study group that has been making our way through James and we just finished it up actually. And we realized that one of the things that really stood out to us from James was this sin of partiality. And also what lies underneath that being what you just described is that there's a fear. There's a fear of discomfort. There's a fear of how others might react or respond. So even on these very small human interaction levels, but also on our systems levels, That's what you had me thinking of. Mm-hmm. To what degree do you see that, or what would you add to that that kind of lies at the heart level of a lot of these things?
Yeah. Part of like the discomfort and wanting to avoid that, I think, comes from loving our ministry spaces or our congregations, how they are, and knowing that bringing people who are different, who we may not see as equal, like on a deep human level to ourselves, when we do that, it risks the whole system changing. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be like that comfortable home that you so love. And so it's easier just to keep people at an arm's distance and not invite them into your home, I guess. They can visit, but they can't stay.
That's right. Or I would say too, or even a willingness of being invited into the other home, the other spaces.
Yeah.
Which is another huge step to change the directional arrow of where the cues for ministry and relationships start and how they proceed. What would it mean for us to consider in any sort of ministry spaces we're in, to be open to the possibility that what if God draws us into another space? You know, like Willie Jennings talks about too. What if God draws us to join another people that we did not expect or intend?
Yes.
I wonder about that a lot. I think that hits on all of the discomfort and fear and anxiety that you're describing.
Yeah, because then you have to be open to the hospitality of others who are different than you. It like shifts the power dynamic a bit.
Mm-hmm. All of this has so much to do with the ministry world and just the world in general of 2023 and beyond. As I wonder about different shifts that congregations might have to make in terms of what we're paying attention to and how we think about where the Spirit might be blowing in unexpected ways, broadening the lens of this, what do you hope that more and more congregations and other ministry contexts pay more attention to in the days ahead, mm-hmm. not just in the case of diversifying a community, but certainly can include that, but just even more broadly, what are the things you hope we pay more attention to more faithfully?
So I'm still in seminary and I have just finished a class on world Christianity. And something that I'm struck by is how much I'm hearing like fear that the church in general in America is shrinking and the Christian faith is at risk. And in reality, like when we're looking at what Christianity is looking like and doing across the world, it's thriving, it's more brown, it's more charismatic, and mm-hmm. it's younger, it's led from the margins. Mm-hmm. And I think at least the church in America needs to learn from that, to see that the Spirit's doing new things and our traditions are great, but we have to make room for the new ways that the Spirit's moving and the new people that the Spirit's going to be bringing into our spaces and challenging us to enter theirs. So it's what I've been thinking about a lot.
Yeah, I mean, and that immediately has me thinking of all the different sorts of spaces I'm in, not only by virtue of my work with the Ministry Collaborative, but also just as an ordained Presbyterian minister. And it makes me wonder if in those spaces, we shouldn't just explicitly ask that question of, what does it mean for us that the Spirit is blowing really hard in some of these marginalized places that we don't pay attention to?
Right.
What does that mean for us? I like those kind of questions that don't have easy answers, but that force us, at least in my view, force us to wrestle with the things that matter and a lot of the things you're describing. And so it makes me wonder explicitly, what types of questions and challenges do we raise in the spaces that we're in? Because it's not enough just to say, hey, you all, we should read this book about world Christianity.
Yeah.
And then move on to the next thing. It's actually a matter of how do we press on these very complex, imaginative questions that could actually play a formative role.
Yeah.
So how do we do that?
I think some things that brings up for me is just like the question you said, like, why? Why is the Spirit moving in this way? Who is a part of this movement where people are being just transformed and growing and experiencing healing across the globe? And what's going on there? Do we even know? And where have we experienced that in our church, in our ministry? And maybe there's ways we can learn from people that we aren't thinking about.
Morgan, what's a passage of scripture or a theme that keeps you going these days?
I have been really encouraged and thinking about the passage of John 3, Nicodemus' story, because he comes to Jesus looking for answers, trying to understand based on what he already knew. But Jesus doesn't give him answers. He completely transforms his worldview. It's like the Spirit blows where it pleases and you have to be born of the Spirit and all of these things that, you know, Nicodemus was a spiritual leader who people came to for answers. And so to be left stunned was something he wasn't familiar with, wasn't used to. So I've been encouraged by that passage that the Holy Spirit is still moving and Jesus loves to shake up our preconceived notions and the things that our traditions and the things that we hold so tightly to. I think it helps me to be more open, more flexible in ministry.
Yeah. And I hear that as such a hope-filled word. Thank you. Morgan, thanks so much for a conversation. And even more importantly, thanks for the good, faithful ministry that you're persevering in.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Ministry Collaborative Podcast,
a project of the Macedonian Ministry Foundation.
The Ministry Collaborative nurtures a national network
of pastors and congregations committed to faithful,
creative,
and courageous engagement in their communities.
Our producer is Marthane Sanders.
To find out more about our work of cultivating leadership that makes a difference
in congregations and communities,
visit our website
at www.ministrycollaborative.org.